Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text, our scripture readings are full of thanksgiving. Of course, Exodus chapter 15, that great passage where Israel's delivered at the Red Sea, the Egyptian army bearing down upon them. They think they're trapped, and God delivers them. And Exodus 15 is that, 15 is that wonderful psalm of them singing that praise. And then, of course, our gospel lesson, when Jesus heals a blind man, I always love it that the crowd said to him, shush, right? And he shouts all the more. That's a great passage. But, of course, when Jesus healed him, he praised God. And then in Philippians 4, we're told to come to God with all kinds of prayers and requests, all kinds of things, including with thanksgiving. So I want us to have those in the back of our mind. Those are the texts we had, but I want to look at another text as well, and I want us to look at the catechism. And so if you take out your hymnal and turn to page 322, I'm always reminded of one of my favorite things Martin Luther ever said was he said, I remain a student of the catechism. I always love the phrase because Luther said he's a student of the catechism, but Martin Luther is the author of the catechism. But his point was that even though he wrote it once, he should read it and be reminded of what it says. And if you look at 322 in the second column at the top in the red letters, it says the creed, right? That's the Apostles' Creed. And so you know how the catechism works. There's always two parts in all these sections. So it's going to go, first of all, what the creed itself says, and then followed by that, the words, as everyone knows, what does this mean, and then Luther explaining it. Now, if you look at the bolded letters, the red letters say the creed, and then the bolded letters, the first thing that happens there is the phrase what? The first article. And the first article, unsurprisingly, is about God the Father. And then there's the next bolded letters are the second article, and that turns out to be about Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, right? First article, first person. Second article, second person. I teach this to the catechumens every time. That I always say, I'm always going to say first, second, third in the exact same order. And that way we remember it. So obviously, no surprise, the third article turns out to be about the Holy Spirit. Now, I know everybody here has read this text before, but I want us to look at it again, and especially I want you to look at it knowing this phrase. In the catechism, it says first article, second article, third article. One of my seminary professors used to always use this phrase, first article, gifts, second article, gifts, third article, gifts. Is that a valid point to make? And the answer is, I obviously think so, I'm preaching it, but yes, it's right, especially from this view that Luther always sees the activity of God as being for you, right? You've heard that from the catechism many a time. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. But it's not just the sacrament. Luther sees the activity of God as being for us, and God the Father for us, God the Son for us, God the Holy Spirit for us. So in the mood of thanksgiving being tomorrow, in the mood of thinking about what are we thankful for, I want us to hear what he says. I do want us to read it together. I want to read the part of the creed. I'm going to say, what does this mean? And I do want us to read aloud the words of the catechism. So the first article, the article of creation, says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Now, you've heard me say in many a Bible class and maybe even in some sermons, I always love it when Luther is very earthy like this. A lot of times when we say God created everything, we're right, God created everything. And we immediately get into debates about creation and evolution and all that. And that's a worthwhile debate, but here's the funny thing. Luther, who sees God as the creator God, God as the God who gives us blessings, I love the paragraph which says that he gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home. See what he's saying? Instead of thinking just cosmically, God created all the stars of the universe, he says God also gave me clothing and shoes and a house to live in and food on the table. Did you know that's called first article gifts, right? Those are first article gifts. It's delightful that he thinks that. Now here's the fun thing to think about. When we say Thanksgiving, and most often when we say that we're thankful to God, most of what we're thankful for, guess what, is first article gifts. By the way, that's not wrong, because God says, Luther gives me food and clothing, house and home, right, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing wrong with it, but it is funny that our vision is attracted to first article gifts. The reason I want to point that out is we're about to do the other articles, and to notice, to think in your mind, how often do I say to God, I'm thankful for second article gifts? How often do I say that I'm thankful for third article gifts? I want to see what they are. Second article, the creed itself is, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. That's the work of Christ the Savior. Now, what does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Now here's the beauty of it. Everyone here knows what Christ has done for you. The creed itself is long enough to even define a lot of it, but then Luther wants to say, what does this mean? Christ lived and died and rose and saved me from my sins, and I forget to say that, right? Because we know to say it, and so we forget. I'm thankful for lots of other stuff. Seldom do we think to say, I thank God that I'm redeemed, right? I thank God that my sins are covered, right? Where's that? We have to think of those things. All of the things that Christ has done, left heaven, born in a manger, preaching, teaching, healing, hated, killed, risen again, my sins are covered. Your sins are covered. All of them. All of your sins are covered in Christ the crucified. That's a wonderful promise of Scripture. We all know it, but sometimes we know it up here more than we know it here, right? Instead of feeling that we're redeemed and won by the Lord. Now, that's the work of the second person of the Trinity. If he's talking about all those things about salvation, what on earth could it say in the third article, right? That's about salvation. I want us to notice what he does, because the Holy Spirit has a job to do. So the third article says this: I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ and the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Now, here's what I love about the third article. The second article is obviously the center and the core of everything Christianity is saying, that Christ crucified and risen is the center, right, of salvation. It's where you were redeemed. It's where your sins were atoned for. Now, if the center of it is Christ, people would say, well, then that's all you have to know. No, that's not true. Here's what happens. The third person of the Trinity brings that to you personally. You see what he's saying? Christ dies for the sins of the world. He rises for your victory over death and the grave. But the third article says that the Holy Spirit changes my pig-headed self. Right? That's what it's saying. In my own flesh, I am a rebel. By the way, not me, you too. In our flesh, we are rebels against God, and we would turn our own way, and if God ever withdraws, we do. The Holy Spirit comes to our stubborn, rebellious, egocentric selves and changes us. With the gospel and with the sacraments, the Holy Spirit has brought salvation to us and converted us. And here's the thing, that happens one person at a time, right? Jesus dies for the sins of all the world, and the Holy Spirit comes to you, personally and individually. Now, here's what he does. He converts individual people. But if you notice in Luther's explanation, it says that having also called me, it says he also calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church. So God didn't save us to be one Christian. He saved us to be what? A church. Here's a Christian. Here's another. Here's another. Here's another. Here's another. And they come together, and now you have a church. Did you know that the church is one of the gifts of God, right? So whenever you're in church and like it, or whenever you're in a Bible study and you're sharing things with people, whenever you're in a small group of this church and you share burdens, that's a third article gift, right? When women's book club spends time in prayer for one another, that's a third article gift. You see what I'm saying? So when I said first article gift, second article gift, third article gift. Here's what I would challenge us to do on Thanksgiving. First of all, be thankful. That one you knew, right? Be thankful and then think to yourself, which article was that? Now here's what I tend to be thankful for. I tend to be thankful for the house we live in, for the food that we're going to, and I told my sister on the way into church tonight, I've been dieting all week, preparing for tomorrow. You can't tell, I need to diet a lot more than that. And I'm gonna make up for it tomorrow. I'm thankful for the food, I'm thankful for my wonderful family. I myself, personally, I am thankful for cranberry sauce that comes out of the can. You know what I'm saying? That cranberry sauce that has the little wrinkles in it, that's the right cranberry sauce. I am thankful for 3 football games being played tomorrow. Most of my family doesn't care one single bit, but you gotta watch it with me. Well, you turn on the football game, then you fall asleep. You've heard me say, if I'm asleep and the TV's on, I will tell you, yes, I saw that game. But anyway, yes, that cranberry, you have some doubters out there about that cranberry sauce, that's the right one. But house, food, family, cranberry sauce, football, what are they? First article gifts. Nothing wrong with being thankful for those, they're first article gifts. Christ's death and resurrection. After Thanksgiving, the next season of the church is what? Advent, the birth of the Savior, Christmas Day, second article gifts. The life and the ministry of this church, the brothers and sisters in Christ that you have here, third article gifts. We're gifted, right? Final thought. I have to say this. I always wrestle with whether I should or shouldn't. I want to say it this year, because I don't want us to be naive. We need to be aware, November and December, for many people, the holidays are hard, right? We should just say that, and that needs to be acknowledged. A lot of times we act like the spirit of Thanksgiving is thankful and joyful, and let's put a phony smile on. I don't necessarily believe in that. We want to say right here, the holidays are hard for some people, and it's doubly hard because they feel like they were supposed to have been festive. And we don't want people to have that burden. Every family has struggles. Some families in the last few months have laid to rest a loved one. Someone just in recent weeks has received a terrible diagnosis. Families experience separations and hurts, and we're not saying to them, push that down. That's not what we're saying. We want to acknowledge those things. And as I said, no phony smile, don't pretend. We want to get the giftedness. We want to get first article, second article, third article gifts. The second and third article gifts are always true, right? But here's the crazy thing about life. Struggles and challenges often come right close together. And you're celebrating one thing, and then a terrible thing happens. I don't think as a Christian you were called to be fake about any of those things. You can acknowledge them. The struggles are real. Know what they are. But one of the gifts of the third article is the people of God, right? So let's acknowledge that the holidays are often hard, but I want us to say this as well. We have a God who made us, redeemed us, and sanctified us. So we want to balance all that together. Did you notice that Luther in every section ends with the exact same words, right? He says, I believe this and this and this plus that plus that plus that. And every time at the end of it, he says what? This is most certainly true. It is. All of it. All of it. So I hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. I hope the Lord is with you if you're going through things as well. But whatever is up, whatever, whoever, however, we have a God who is for us. That's what the Catechism says. And this is true. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.